Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Nice to see everyone. You're all looking very healthy and well-fed. At least I know I am. I usually don't begin a talk with a joke, but I found this one and I thought it was pretty nice and kind of fit today's theme, so here we go. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents the week before Christmas, and at bedtime the two boys knelt down beside their beds to say their prayers, when the youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bicycle, I pray for a new Nintendo Wii, I pray for a new hockey stick. And his older brother leaned over and nudged the younger brother and said, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf." To which the little brother replied, "No, but Grandma is." And so as Pastor Lawrence mentioned, we wanted to begin the year in prayer. One of our major emphases in this church is prayer and the pursuit of the presence of God. And so what a fantastic way to begin a whole year with a focus on prayer. So I want to start with a little devotional on prayer, and then we'll actually give some time to praying today. Now, this time of year, a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions. You're thinking of areas that could use a little bit more attention in your life, or perhaps a little less attention. And when it comes to the area of prayer, probably most everyone would say they don't pray as much as they would like or as much as they ought to. And there's probably two reasons. One, perhaps they haven't fully grasped the significance and the importance of prayer. The Bible compels us to be devoted to prayer, to pray without ceasing. Jesus said, "When you pray, not if you pray." I would say you can't fulfill the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself without prayer. But for those that have grasped that, but still don't pray as much as they want, it's probably just a lack of a priority or discipline. Some people say, "I'm too busy to pray," but really when we're too busy for anything, what we're really saying is we have other priorities. And yet underlying all of that, I would say that there's probably something else going on with prayer that affects us and causes us not to pray as much as we'd like. And I would say it's this, that at some level, we're not getting results. So whether it's results in terms of like, I want to pray and I want to connect with the Lord and I want to like sense his nearness and I just feel like, where is he? I'm here by myself, not getting results. Or in terms of praying for something and feeling like, is this getting anywhere? Am I just saying words? Do you ever have those times when you're praying and you feel like your prayers just go up, hit the ceiling and come right back down and you're like, what am I, is this doing anything, you know? And so, in the same way, with New Year's resolutions, I mean, how long would you go doing exercise and a diet routine if you didn't start seeing results? At some point, you'd probably say, this isn't working. And maybe just to fulfill the commandment, you'd do it, but you wouldn't do it with all your heart and soul, and you'd kind of just satisfy these requirements. I read my Bible, I do this much prayer, and okay, good, and now I'm covered kind of thing. But it definitely affects and limits the quantity and quality of our prayer. And interestingly enough, the disciples fit this description. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the disciples, most of them were Jews, and growing up in Jewish culture and tradition, they actually would have prayed like three times a day. They prayed actually a lot before Jesus even came along. Morning, afternoon, and evening, they'd recite scripture, they'd recite prayers from the Bible, lots from the Psalms, and they'd use their own words in prayer. And they'd do this three times a day, every day, for their entire growing up. So they prayed actually quite a bit. So it's very interesting when we read that the only thing they ever asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray. And I think they looked at Jesus and just saw how much he prayed. He got up really early, it says, before it was even light. And he sometimes prayed throughout the whole night. They just watched Jesus pray a ton. But they watched his relationship with God and the quality of that, the wisdom that would pour out of his life. And they watched how he interacted with people and how he affected people, his influence on people, not to mention the miracles. And they realized there's something about the quality of Jesus' prayer life that's correlating with his favor with God and his favor with man. And so rightfully so, they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it's not teach us to pray like they didn't pray. They already did that. But Lord, teach us how to pray. And so in a sense, we find ourselves in the same boat this morning as the disciples. Wherever we're at with prayer, whatever level of prayer we have, our prayer is still the same. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus is the right one to teach us because his right now, he lives ever continually to make intercession for us. He lives in constant prayer. And so what I want to do this morning is just start with a little devotional on the teaching that Jesus gave his disciples, classically known as the Lord's Prayer. And we'll just go through little bits and pieces of it, and then we'll get into actual praying. So let's read it here. It gets on the overhead. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now it's worthwhile noting that Jesus prayed lots of different prayers in the Bible as well. And so the disciples after this point, they didn't just pray this prayer. So you can look at this as a bit of a model. Jesus, like, teaching his disciples, this is how you should pray. Think about prayer in this manner. So maybe even before we even just get into anything, how about we just take a moment and just pray? Let's take the same posture that the disciples did and say, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and Lord, wherever our prayer lives are at, fantastic, dismal, Lord, I ask that you would teach us to pray this morning. God, I pray you'd teach each one of us how we can effectively communicate with you, how we can effectively see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, I pray that you would release a spirit of prayer this morning, Lord. Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. He would lead us into all truth. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and to teach us this morning and to teach us to effectively pray for your sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I won't get very far with this. I mean, whole books have been written on this, and it would probably take weeks to get past the words, Our Father. So I'll just probably get through a couple lines, and I think that'll probably be enough for this morning to chew on. So the first little phrase that Jesus says when you come into prayer is Our Father. I mean, he's saying that's at the heart of prayer. Its primary purpose of prayer is relationship. Relationship with a God who isn't distant or uninterested in us, but who's a loving God. Oswald Chambers said, they said, we look upon prayer as a means for getting something for ourselves, but the Bible idea of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. Or as another person said, prayer is nothing more than turning our heart toward God and receiving in turn his love. That the greatest thing we could have is a relationship with God. It's at the heart of our house of prayer this year, the 24/7, is asking for God's power and presence to be with us. But there's something more that Our Father also implies. If we call God our Father, it's implying that we're his children. And that is a big deal. If we're his children, then we actually have a right to go before our Father and ask. And Jesus used examples of that in the Bible. He said, right, like, how many of you, your earthly father, if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a stone. Like, in other words, we have a right now to go before our Father and to ask and to expect that our Father wants to give good things to us. Who are the ones that obtain the inheritance? It's the children. It's not the servants. The children obtain the inheritance. So Jesus is telling us, when you go into prayer, calling God our own Father, go into prayer like children who can expect an answer and are actually asking for their inheritance. Now, I say inheritance, and what do you mean by that? Well, did you know that every bit of spiritual anything, life, power, that anything you experience on this earth is actually from heaven, from the age to come? It says in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that we've tasted of the powers of the age to come. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 writes and says, we speak with the wisdom not of this age. It says the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit, the first little bit of our inheritance, which is stored up for us in heaven. In 1 Peter 1, I think it is. And so actually everything on earth that we need is stored up for us in heaven. And Jesus is like, here's how you can access it. Does that make sense? So he's coming saying, pray like this, Our Father, who art in heaven, that's where inheritance is, hallowed be thy name. And then he gets into it. Jesus is trying to get us to try and access our inheritance. And the way we do it is praying according to the will of God. So the next verse there says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that is a major key to prayer. If you turn in your Bibles or actually look on the screen, in 1 John 5:14-15, it says this. This is a huge key in prayer because it's pretty black and white. It says this. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him." So a major key in prayer is that we ask according to his will. If we can simply do that, we've got it. And so Jesus, in teaching the Lord's Prayer, is saying first you need to come to God as your Father, as children, and he's in heaven where your inheritance is. Hallowed be your name. Worshiping him, we'll get into that in a second. And from that perspective, from that place, you're now in the right place where you can begin to ask according to his will. The way I would actually describe this for myself is actually, there's two types of prayer. There's prayers that are just in the soul, your own mind, your own will, and there's prayers that are in the spirit, God's will, God's mind. Prayers that are in the soul don't get answers. Prayers that are in the spirit do get answers. And so the real question is, how can we learn to pray the will of God? How can we learn to pray in agreement with the Spirit of God? Madame Guyon said this, a 17th century prayer master, "We must learn to pray from our heart and not from our head." And the problem is if we don't, our prayers will be laden with our fear, our insecurity, our lack of trust, all the things that will actually inhibit us from praying prayers of faith, which will get results. Prayers that are lined up with God's will. I think a guy who did this very well, a great example in the Bible, is actually David. In 1 Samuel 30, there's this story where, this is a really cool story. So David's been anointed the next king, right? He's going to be the next king. And Saul, the current king, isn't very thrilled about it. Because, of course, if David's going to be king, what does that mean for him? So he's now tried to attack David and kill him. And David has escaped to the land of the Philistines with a whole bunch of other 600 guys. And they're hanging out there. And they're kind of in exile. And they've offered their services to the Philistines. "Hey, you want to use this for battle? Here we are." And so them, the Philistines, and a bunch of other kings have gotten together and they're going for a battle. And David's like, "Here we are, ready for the fight." But the other kings are a little bit leery because they're like, "Aren't these guys the Israelites? Like, weren't they our enemies a little while ago? What if they turn on us in the battle?" And they're like, "Thanks, but no thanks." And so they send them off. "Your services are no longer required." So the guys go back and they're pretty demoralized by this. I mean, they're warriors. They like to fight. And so they head back home to the town of Ziklag, but lo and behold, when they get home, everything is gone. And I do mean everything. Their wives are gone. Their children are gone. All their possessions are gone. They've been stolen. And so, I mean, they come back, they're demoralized, and now they come back and everything is gone. All that you hold dear is completely wiped away. And to top it all off, it says the men are now talking and they're in their anguish. They're talking about now stoning David to death. So, talk about a bad day for David. As David is having a bad day. And I love what David does. What David does is a pattern and example for us in prayer for the ages. It's exactly what Jesus taught when he was teaching them what's now known as the Lord's Prayer. David does this. In verse 6, it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." And then in verse 7 and 8, it says, "And then he inquired." Notice the order of that. How often do we rush into prayer looking for answers? I need direction for this. I need wisdom on how to do this. God, what do I do here? And if anybody needed answers on that day, it was David. What was he going to do? He was dire. He said he was going to die. But he comes in, he says, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He did exactly what Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." See, if you look at the Psalms and what David wrote in his life, pretty safe to say that he probably came and just worshiped. Probably came and just worshiped the Lord. Maybe he talked like Job, you know, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be his name. Even if he slays me, I'll still praise him." Like he went and got himself right with the Lord. And said, you know what, the first important thing, he could have prayed out of his soul. His soul prayer would have been like, God, help me. God, what am I going to do? Right out of his soul. But instead he realized in order to pray an effective prayer in line with God's will, he's going to need to get himself centered. And so he went and just worshiped and beheld the Lord. And then it says he inquired. See, for us to pray effectively, we have to be praying in agreement with God's will. So there's a verse, 1 Corinthians 2:11. I think we have a slide for it. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the real question is, if the Spirit of God is the only one that knows the mind of God or the will of God, how in the world can we pray effectively unless we're praying with the help of the Holy Spirit? There is no possible way. Our best prayers will simply be prayers from our own mind and soul. We need the Spirit of God to reveal the will of God to us, and then we can pray that, and then we can expect to get answers. Now, God has a funny sense of humor, because the way he actually taught me this was pretty humbling. I don't know if you've ever had God teach you something in a humbling way, but you get the point. And so for me growing up, I had a brother who, a few of you here know him actually, just seemed to be able to hear God's voice really well. I mean, he would come out of his prayer times as a young kid and he would just tell, hey, God asked me this. And I was like, he asked you stuff? Like he talks to you in your prayer time? Yeah, he asked me this. And I said, I don't know the answer. And he told me this is the answer. And so he's come with these crazy stories and I'm like, man. And made my mathematical, scientific mind. I was just really in my head a lot and always everything thinking, mind always going. And so I remember one time it was almost like God turned a flashlight on inside of me and let me know whenever I was talking or praying, if this was by my own soul, this is just Bruce, or if this was something that, yeah, he agrees with this. This is in agreement with his spirit. And so I would actually remember he'd telling me something and I went to respond to him and I'm, yeah, but well, I don't know about that experience, Mark. I'm like, well, because this Bible verse says this and this verse. And as I'm talking, I'm hearing myself. You remember Charlie Brown, the teacher from Charlie Brown? I'm actually hearing, I'm almost like sounds like that to myself. Well, Mark, I don't know the verse and blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. And I'm watching him get really frustrated, like, you're wasting time. What are you talking about? And I'm listening to myself going, what in the world am I talking about? And blah, 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 blah. And I was kind of, okay, that's kind of useless. And I would find as this is honestly like a light that went on for a number of months. And I would find myself as I was praying, I'd be praying and I'd try to find that internal like, oh yeah, the Lord agrees with this. And I'd pray, it'd be good. And I could tell when I dipped off, oh, this is now Bruce again. And I learned to kind of just cut that off and go less and less time of the Bruce side and try to just stay more with what the Lord is doing. And so, see, the Lord knows what a situation needs. How often do we pray prayers that we think God wants us to hear? That's what really highlighted to me in that time. I would hear myself talking. I was actually praying for people's sake. I'd pray in a group of people and I'd pray and I was trying to pray a really impressive prayer that people would think I was a really, wow, this guy is a holy man. I wasn't praying to God at all. I was praying to people in a way. It's very interesting. In the Matthew 6 context of that, with the disciples asking them, teaching them to pray, he actually uses a couple examples. He says, don't be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees pray for everybody else to hear them, and they already have the reward. Don't be like the Gentiles, and they pray thinking that because of all their many words that they're going to be heard. He says, no, pray like this. There has to be, when we want effective prayer, it has to be praying by the Spirit. We must learn to pray with the Spirit, with his will. What does that look like? Do you remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman? And she was asking him, kind of disagreeing about, how come we have to go pray at this mountain and you Jews get to pray at this mountain? And he asks us this question. He just like seems to bypass all that. And he goes, you know, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink and I'd give you that drink and you'd never thirst again. And as the discussion goes along, Jesus eventually asks her and says, well, go bring your husband. I don't have a husband. He's like, yeah, that's true. You've had four husbands and the one you're with right now is not your husband. That's true. Just totally. Pins are down. And you can see actually what Jesus was doing at the very, very beginning was bypassing the soulish thoughts. She was thinking about this and thinking about that, and she didn't even know what was driving her. But Jesus knew, because he knows what's in the heart. He knows what's behind the situation. And right away, he asked her, you know, if you knew I was talking to you, you'd ask for a drink, and I would feed you. I would give you, you'd never thirst again, because what's going on in your heart is there's a massive soul, like you just have this massive longing, and you're looking for men to fill it. You're looking for anything you can to fill that spot. But Jesus spotted it right away. It's like, no, that's the issue. So when we begin to pray by the Spirit, we stop praying what we think God wants us to hear, or what we think the situation needs, and we begin to pray the answers. The Holy Spirit reveals the will of God to us, and so we actually already have the answer. And now we're praying that into existence. And so you might be praying for, maybe it's Christmas time, and there's a loved one that's estranged, and the Lord can direct you how to pray for that. Because we can just pray however we think to pray, but the Lord knows, and maybe it's actually, maybe there's some particular trauma that happened when they're younger, or one particular, you're praying for them, and suddenly you're like, oh, I remember that time when I said that thing. Wow, I gotta go make that right. And you call them up, you ask for forgiveness, who knows? So much can be solved. Well, it can only be solved if you pray by the Spirit. I think that the little acronym is okay, that what would Jesus do? It's not bad. Like, I like it's useful in lots of things. But it kind of, I think I like WTFD better. What is the Father doing? Instead of praying, what would Jesus do? Like, what do I think he would do? What is the Father doing? The Holy Spirit can reveal the mind of God to us. And so now, actually, when I pray, I'm actually praying like I've got one ear on my spirit when I'm praying and thinking, God, is this what you want? Like, is this your will in this situation? And the other, I'm actually listening to what comes out of my mouth, because sometimes when I'm praying for people, God will actually give you wisdom and insight into what you're, into that person's life. While you're praying, stuff is coming out that you're actually getting full revelation of what's going on in that person. You're like, I would never have thought of that. How am I even praying this? And you actually get wisdom about what's going on. Praying by the Spirit. And so putting it together, what do we have? We have our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think of the David story there, where he just comes and worships. If I pause there for a second, do you know how much is often solved just in that stage right there? I think if we'd spend most of our time in that first verse, we wouldn't have to do a lot of the other verses. Often in prayer times, it suddenly becomes apparent that actually there's no more prayer needed. That actually God is with me. He's got the situation under control. How often do we really pray more out of fear and our lack of trust and worry and anxiety than we do actually out of place of this is God's will and I want it to happen and God wants it to happen? I've actually been noticing lately, I've been listening to many great men and women of God, and they actually say that 75%, it seems to be that number, whatever that's worth, but about 75% of their prayer time is spent in worship. Just in adoration, enjoying him, loving him, being loved by him. 75%. I bet if we all did that, there'd be tons of things in our lives that would be going right that we wouldn't have to even deal with. And then, once you're in that place, you're ready to pray by the Spirit. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know how the Lord will teach that to you. I just encourage you to listen, to ask him to teach you to pray by the Spirit, to avoid your own soul, your own mind, your own thoughts, and to pray powerful, effective prayers. If we do that, we'll see God's kingdom come, undoubtedly. That's really all that I wanted to share for the devotional. I'd really like to get into prayer. I think what I'd like to do is to kind of start off, like Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name, like David did, and just start off individually. And so what I've got is just a worship song that the Sun guys will play in a second. And what I'd like you to do, actually, is just to focus in with the Lord. And this is for the kids as well that want to engage with this, the junior youth, like everyone that can to pray. And just to actually really take this time to just center in with the Lord. To just get to that place where you behold Him. That glorious place where, like that song says, it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We will take some time today to pray about those things that are on our hearts that we'd love to see God do in the new year. We will do that, but first, let's center ourselves in the Lord. Let's just take time loving Him and being loved by Him. And you may be surprised at how many solutions come out of that. So how we'll do is we'll play that song on there. And I just want you just to engage with the Lord. If that means you're singing along with the song, if you're just going to let it wash over you, whatever you do. And then there's a little bit of instrumental track in the background. And we'll have time just for private prayer. Just you and the Lord. And I would really encourage you to just center in on Him. And if we could have that the Lord's Prayer just stay on there. And then if you want, you can use that as a bit of a model for yourself. You can pray that through. You can expand on that. But I really encourage you just to first just have time for private prayer. And we'll give a fair bit of time for it. And then afterwards, for those that are comfortable, we'll get into groups and we'll pray together about those things that are on our hearts and pray by the Spirit. What does God want to do in those situations? That sound okay? So, Jeremy, when you're ready, go for it.
Thank you.
So let's just take the next 10 minutes or so. And let's just worship the Lord. Just stay in that place of prayer. We'll have a little bit of quiet music on in the background. And this is just between you and the Lord. It's not for anybody beside you. It's just time with you and the Lord. Some of you might even camp on that phrase, our Father. Martin Luther said he couldn't pray the Lord's Prayer. He had difficulty because it just reminded him of his own earthly father. It wasn't that great. Whatever the case, each person, just take now this time and just worship him, adore him, love him, receive his love. Talk to him from your heart. And even if there are things that are like blockages or whatever, talk from your heart.